I'm Celeste Headley. This is On Second Thought. All this hour, we're exploring the history of Southern food with culinary historian John T. Edge. He's author of the new book, The Potlicker Papers, A Food History of the Modern South. Welcome back, John.
Why, thank you.
And one place that the history of Southern food is being remade is at Savannah's Gray Restaurant. Mashama Bailey is the executive chef there and joins us from Savannah. Hi, Mashama.
Hi, how you doing?
It's good to have you with us.
This is so good to be here.
Well, let's then go first to sort of defining our terms. Let me play you a comment from Alfreda Lockett, the executive chef at Mima's restaurant in Macon. And here she is talking about the fact that she believes there's a real difference between soul food and Southern food.
I say Southern style food, and all of it is good for the soul, and I take ownership of preparing it where all people, all nationality, is not overly seasoned. It's just seasoned to a point, and then you take it to the next degree.
Is there a difference, Mashama, between soul food or and Southern food?
Absolutely. I think that the food that I grew up on was soul food. It was basically what my mom put in the pot, and she seasoned it how she wanted to. She grew up on that food. I think Southern food is a little bit more regional. It's broader, I think.
And, okay, so John T., as we bring both soul food and Southern food into the modern age, they've had to change. They've had to change for some practical reasons. In other words, they need to get healthier. But what other ways have they has Southern food and soul food changed?
I mean, one of the propulsions for soul food is a kind of reclaiming of the Black diet. And so that was one change that begins in the 1970s. The naming of soul food, late 60s, early 70s, the naming of soul food in the same way that soul music came to the fore in that moment. It was a political decision on the part of African Americans to claim that diet, to reframe it. It's not Southern food. It's not the food of enslavement. It's soul food. It's particular to us. And it becomes a more urban food than rural food, and the changes in the South from rural to urban migrations, soul food comes out of that moment too.
So, Mashama, I remember reading a complaint from another Southern chef who's, I've forgotten who it was, but they were saying, you know, when you go to culinary school, you don't learn how to make Southern food. You learn how to make European style food and French food. Has that changed?
No. <Has it? laughs> when I went to culinary school, we learned about all the European sort of diets and how they ate and cooked and their techniques. And you don't learn anything about American food. You learn how they think of it as sort of like a melting pot, more of tradition. And I think we're starting to grow into, we're growing older as a country, and we're starting to identify ourselves more regionally, I think. And I think that's the importance of really classifying different parts of the United States and how we grow food and how we cook food and different techniques. There are pit masters and fishermen and oystermen, and all these people have different cooking techniques. And I think that needs to be celebrated in culinary schools in America, and they're not yet, I don't think.
So one of the things that's happened, John T., is that Southern chefs have started to reclaim very ancient styles of Southern cooking. So here's Stephen Satterfield. He's co-owner and executive chef at Miller Union in Atlanta, recently won a James Beard Award. He came on the show to cook for us a little while back, and he's talking about the use of historic ingredients.
I just have some toasted sesame seeds here. These are Bene seeds, an heirloom African seed that came over with the slave ships many, many centuries ago and made their way into the culinary landscape of the South. So they really have become like the heralded sesame seed of the South.
And you talk about this in the book when you're discussing the 90s, the rise of the scholar chef and how that changes Southern cooking. What does change?
There's a new respect for Southern ingredients, Southern techniques, and Southern peoples. And what chefs do, working in lockstep oftentimes with academics, is they dig back into the Southern larder, they dig back into the Southern record to find the stories, to find the specific ingredients like the Bene of which Stephen Satterfield talked. And they leverage those ingredients and the narratives about those ingredients for modern restaurant cookery. There's a kind of reappraisal and a renaissance that happens in that moment. And the best of those chefs, like Stephen Satterfield, point back to the origins and talk about their West African origins as opposed to scooping them up and presenting them grandly on white tablecloths.
So, Mashama, if you're not learning all of these techniques and things in culinary school, where do you learn to cook Southern food?
You research and you read cookbooks and you read old receipts and you start to put the pieces together. You ask questions. You investigate, I think. That's really how I learned. My parents, my mom cooked soul food, as it will, but I didn't start cooking Southern food until I came down to Savannah and opened up the Gray.
Can you give me an example of a recipe that you use that combines what you learned in culinary school with the Southern traditions?
There's a dish that we opened with right after, not too soon after we opened. I put a dish called Chicken Country Captain. And this was a recipe that I found in Edla Lewis's cookbook. And I think the way that I modernized it was I sort of had the country captain stew cooking down low and slow and using those old school methods. And then the chicken was sort of cooked in a more modern way, just sort of roasted and in a pan roasted, which is more of like a French technique.
We have a tweet from Terry Anelowitz, who says, "The Gift of Southern Cooking by Lewis and Peacock is my desert island cookbook." And the couple minutes that we have left, John T., do you have a desert island cookbook, or is it more like a desert island library?
I would buy into The Gift of Southern Cooking by Miss Lewis and Scott Peacock because it's this emblem of a biracial South. It's a black chef and a young white chef working together to create this beautiful testament of Southern food. It's an older woman and a young man, a straight woman and a gay man. It's all of the South wrapped up into one book. It also cooks really well. If you walked into our kitchen in Oxford, Mississippi and opened up that book, you would see it splattered to hell and back with grease, with chocolate, with everything that we've splattered upon it as my wife and I've cooked through the years.
What about you, Mashama? Do you have a desert island cookbook?
Definitely. It's The Taste of Country Cooking by Edna Lewis.
Who we heard from earlier.
Well, you know, with good reason, I think.
We have about a minute left, Mashama. Can you separate... John's book makes the argument that you can't, but what do you think? Can you separate food from politics?
I think that's where politics get worked out at the table. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm not very political, so I'm not sure if I know how to answer that question. But I do know that at the table is where you work out the issues and work out problems. And so, yeah.
Do you want to answer that, John T?
I think Mashama's onto something there. That idea of the metaphor of the civil rights movement of the welcome table, where all gather in respect and possibilities of reconciliation. The table offers that promise. Doesn't always live up to it, but it does offer that promise.
John T. Edge is author of the new book, The Potlicker Papers, A Food History of the Modern South. And we also spoke with Mashama Bailey. She is the executive chef at the Gray Restaurant in Savannah. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
It was fun.
You can hear more about John T's book and his life this weekend on GPB's Two-Way Street with Bill Nigut.